for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
All right, we've got everybody now. Y'all come on in to my house. It's Rosie on the House. And college football is now officially open. Absolutely. U of A playing BYU, ASU playing University of Texas San Antonio, opening weekend activity. Good luck to all of our Arizona teams. I'm sorry to say I don't have who NAU is playing, if in fact they're playing this weekend, but I will research that out, all right? So college football is starting, and that's always a great eye-opener and realization that summer is going to come to an end. And we've put together this month, the month of September, we want to talk to y'all about landscaping all month long because it's a great opportunity. It's a great month to get out there while you've been hiding inside the air-conditioned house. Now you can step outside and start doing a full assessment of what it is that you've got and what it is you might like to get.
And we'll be joined by a number of different of our landscape install specialists, our outdoor living hour at 8 o'clock. We're often talking about do-it-yourself stuff and planting and our own maintenance and education of trees and agricultural. But this is going into the structure now. We're into the design, into the architecture, into the shovel-ready jobs that putting in your landscape requires. And we'll be talking about, we're going to spend some time talking about artificial turf and the use of that in our landscapes. I will say I finally figured out the perfect application for marrying lawn with desert life, because you can't get grass to grow under a great shaded mesquite.
That's right.
It needs the sun. That's where your artificial turf can just naturally blend into your...
Always have green grass under that big shade of mesquite right there.
Perfect.
This artificial grass surge in the last 10 years is really supply-side driven, because the product became so much better.
It wasn't like indoor-outdoor carpet you were rolling out on your yard anymore.
Yeah. So they've got it where it really does look good. Serves well, holds up well. So, boy, it's a big surge right now. That's just one of the things we're going to talk about.
We'll be talking about ponds and water features in our yards. There's even a, what do you call them? Pondless?
Living pond? Living?
No, like a waterless pond. It's just a quick read.
Pondless water feature.
There you go. Pondless water feature. Those are great applications, and especially if you're trying to drown out white noise from a busy street or obnoxious neighbors or something, that running water can create a nice effect for your outdoor sitting area. And there's all the way up to what Rosie just mentioned, living ponds, where it's basically a swimming pool, but it's a pond that is a living pond. So you don't have the harsh, you don't have the chemicals, but then you've got, how do you clean it? Well, you've got the filtration of the plant life that goes in the pond, that you're creating this ecosystem in your yard. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about creating your Sonoran desert scapes. We've got such iconic landscapes throughout the state, and we'll be talking about creating those. But where it all starts today is seeing those.
Where could you go in Arizona and just kind of collect, maybe take pictures of particular plants you like, or plant scenarios? Oh, well, that looks good with this one, and this one looks good with that. And look how this layered effect looks. Where can you go throughout Arizona and just take a look at these ideas?
If you were coming across from the coast of California, headed into the state, and you come over the Cofa Yuma Mountains, you might think there's no color in the state other than creosote. Well, there are many colors, but some of them only come out at night. Some of them, it depends on what time of the year that they might be in bloom. So there is plenty of color that is available in the state. It's just a matter of knowing it.
A new one that I just recently found, had to go up to Carefree Building Department to pull a permit for some work we're doing up in the area right behind the Scottsdale Carefree Airport. And all of that Sundial Mall that used to be parking and paving and concrete, they've turned that entire pavilion into a spectacular desert garden. Carefree Sundial Garden. It's gorgeous.
And where is that?
Right there where the sundial is in the town of Carefree. That's Scottsdale Road North till it turns into Tom Darlington, and then it's right there on the south corner there.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't been through there in a while.
I parked at the building department to go in and talk to him about pulling a permit, and my eye caught all the plants and vegetations. And it had been a few years since I'd been up in that area. And like I say, historically, that was all one big parking lot. Man, I walked across there, and I spent 15, 20, well, that was longer than that. It was about 40 minutes just kind of walking through the garden area. It was gorgeous. So that's one place.
So, and that we actually have that on our article that's up on our blog, and looking at it, I didn't realize that that was a sundial. I never stopped to pull over, but it's been there since 1958, 59. So that's what that big, okay. I thought it was just some crazy modern art piece. That's a sundial. Very nice. So Arizona's not limited to desert, though. Of our eight places on our must-see, we actually start up in the North Country.
Amen.
And we've got...
Jennifer and I drove home from Denver, dropping our baby off at college, and we were treated to some of the most beautiful green rolling forest hillsides. Northern Arizona is absolutely greened out to the max. It's absolutely gorgeous, especially as compared to what it looked like just 2 months ago.
Amazing. What a little bit of rain will do. Well, we've brought in Gail Nance. She's the greenhouse director and horticulturist at the Flagstaff Arboretum. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Talk to us about the Flagstaff Arboretum and the plants y'all have there on site.
Okay, well, the Flagstaff Arboretum was started in 1981 by a woman named Frances McAllister, who in the 1930s was actually on a train ride from California going to New York and stopped through Flagstaff and fell in love with the area. She was on her honeymoon. She fell in love with the area so much that her husband bought her a large piece of land in Flagstaff for a wedding gift. And in 1967, she came in and she built a house there, and she tried a garden with plants that she knew from Santa Barbara. And of course, we're at 7,000 feet in the high desert, and she failed miserably. So she had a love and passion of native plants after that. She really wanted to learn more about the plants. And in 1981, she started the Arboretum at Flagstaff and opened it up as a public garden and a research institution. And what we do is we're pretty special. We fill a unique niche in where we showcase native plants to Flagstaff in all of our gardens.
Now, I think native plants, aspen, ponderosa, immediately jumped to mind. What would be some other plants that may not be that obvious? I didn't know that was native to Flag.
Well, we really love to showcase our penstemons. And penstemons are native to only North America, and there are actually 270 species, and the Colorado Plateau is actually the epicenter of diversity in the entire world for penstemons. So we really
spell that for me.
A ton of penstemons, yeah. And then, you know, milkweeds, actually, people, I think that they get a really bad rap. People think, I think it's because of their name, because you have weed in the name, and people think that they aren't native, but they're actually beautiful plants. And we have a big milkweed grow-out garden right now in response to the population decline of monarchs. So monarchs lay their eggs on milkweeds, and the caterpillars eat strictly milkweed leaves. So what we're doing is we're growing out milkweeds, kind of like a crop, and then we're going to be harvesting the seeds and making them available for the public so they can assist monarchs and their populations at their homes.
Well, that's a whole new perspective on the milkweed for me, because there is something fun about our summer camping trips. We were once out of Williams. We always go a different destination every time. Just sitting out at the tree line watching the kids run through the fields and chasing the butterflies. You gotta have milkweed now to have the butterflies.
You do, and they are beautiful. I have three species in my garden at home, and the butterflies love them.
Gail, where is the Arboretum?
The Arboretum is on Woody Mountain Road. It's just outside of town, and it's about 4 miles down an unpaved road in the middle of the Coconino National Forest, and it's gorgeous.
Open to the public?
Open to the public every day except for Tuesday.
And if I'm coming into Flagstaff from 17, am I going left or right to find, what was the road, Woody Mountain Road?
Woody Mountain Road. So the best way to get there is to take the Business 40, and that will take you into town towards Woody Mountain Road, and then you would take a left and head down for your adventure.
And what are the hours on a Saturday?
Saturday, we are open from 9 until, well, starting Labor Day weekend, we're open. Actually, Monday, I think we're changing our hours, and we're only open from 9 until 4. But during the summer, the busiest times, we're open during 9 to 5.
All right. Well, Gail Nance, the greenhouse manager and the horticulturist there at the Flagstaff Arboretum, one of our 8 places in the state that you must see before you start planning your own landscape or garden. Now, there will obviously be limited applications on 7,000 feet elevation to a lot of the plants, but most, you know, if you've got a mountain home cabin or you're in Munns Park, or you know, that 7,000 foot will apply to a lot of the White Mountain area.
Absolutely.
Got to check it out before you start digging holes and sticking things in the ground.
Where else could you be listening and learning that the Colorado Plateau is the global epicenter of the Petsamon?